Amen. Lord, speak to us this morning. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 4, would you stand for the reading of God's word? And this is just going to be a continuation of what God is doing in the service. I believe he's going to continue to speak to us. Folks have come, they're sick. I know in one case someone's worked all night. You're here. Folks are here to have their needs met, and only the Holy Spirit can do that as we worship and praise him. Amen. And the same day, verse 35, when the even was come, Jesus saith unto them, let us pass over into the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? If we could go back to verse 38 for just a moment. Verse 38. Amen. Ryan's going to help me this morning. He didn't know he was going to, but he's going to. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. I'll make you as comfortable as I can. Would you just lie down there? A lot of people would like this opportunity to go to sleep on Sunday morning. There he is. And they looked at him. They looked at the wind. They looked at the wave. And they looked at him asleep. And they said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? If that's the master, does he look like he cares very much? Seriously, does he look like he cares? I want to preach this morning on Jesus seems not to care then. Jesus seems not to care then. Amen. You can be seated this morning. I think one of the greatest consternations we as believers, I want to see if you agree with this or not. One of the greatest consternations we as believers have is that we find ourselves in the heat of a horrible, sometimes terrifying, trying situation, and it seems like God is absolutely doing nothing to help us in our time of need. Have you been there? Have you been in the middle of it and it seems like God is doing nothing about your situation? Have you been there? Here we are trying to serve God with all of our heart and all of our lives. And in the midst of trying to serve God, our troubles only increase. Have you been there? Trying to do what's right? That's the condition of these disciples in the ship, in the storm, on that day. It seemed like God was doing nothing. You know, I understand this speaking, being a speaker, I understand that it can sound so right in your head, but when it comes out, it's nothing of what you intended it to be. So I understand that. And so I've actually found it humorous, the irony of it. But over the years, I've had people testify. They've been sick in the hospital. I went to visit them. And they stood and testified in church. It went this way. I was so sick in the hospital. Pastor Hurst came and saw me and he prayed for me. And as soon as he left, I got even worse. It doesn't do much for your image of faith as a man of God. But I understand what they're saying. They're trying to say that sometimes, in spite of prayer, things get worse. In spite of calling upon God, things aren't delivered. Things are increased in their troubles. But the very fact that they're standing and testifying about it They're also saying, in spite of things getting worse after we pray, in spite of the situation growing increasingly bad and horrible, in spite of that, God came through. In the end, He will deliver you. There is a point, it seems, that God is doing nothing. You see, I think what we're going to see today is the undisputable truth that believers have storms. I said believers go through storms, Brother Wilson. And many times in the midst of that storm, it seems like an answer is a million miles away. It seems like God is doing nothing. But the other half of this story is we get in storms, but we will come through them. I said He may seem to be doing nothing right now, but there's a then. I said there's a then. There's a turning point. There's a hinge to that thing. Oh, hallelujah. I said, I'm talking about the Jesus response. It may seem like He's doing nothing. I want us to look at the human need in verse 35. He said to them at even time, let us pass over to the other side. Let me tell you in brief, the human need here is a storm like the disciples had never seen. I want you to notice a little fact here. It said it was at even time. It was evening. It was growing dark. Have you ever noticed how many storms hit at night? Things are already dark, and here comes a storm. I want to tell you something else. Storms, as you know, physically and literally, storms will make a bright day dark. It gets awfully dark when the storm comes. And I want you to notice seemingly an insignificant fact, but it was evening. It not only did they have a storm to deal with, but they had a storm in the darkness to deal with. I want us to know, I want you to hear me across the building. If you get on the boat, you must know you very possibly will get in a storm. I mean, that's literally true. You step on a boat out for the lake, out for the ocean. If you're stepping on the boat, you can know pretty sure that there's a great possibility you're going to get caught in a storm. You see, I believe in telling you the truth. I believe this boat is a great boat. I believe this gospel ship is a wonderful boat. But Brother Wilson, you got to know something. If you step on board that boat, it's very probably that you're going to get involved in the middle of the storm. You may have been lied to. You may have been told that serving Jesus exempts you from the storms of life. But if you get on board, there will be storms. But here's the thing here. Amen. Why would you get on a boat knowing that there's going to be a storm? Because that boat is headed somewhere. Let us pass over the other side. I know when I get on that boat, there's going to be a storm. But I also know that boat is headed somewhere. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. That's why we got on the boat. It's headed somewhere. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. In Luke's version, it said, and they launched forth. Many launch forth. Few make it to the other side. Why? They don't stick with the boat. I want to tell you again, because this is the word of God. Many launch forth, but few make it to the other side because they don't stick with the boat. If there was ever a time of sticking with the boat, it's in the time and the age that we live in. Oh, hallelujah. How many's praying with me this morning that God will send deliverance? Hallelujah. This boat is going to the other side. A storm like they had never seen. Verse 36. And they sent away the multitude. And they took him even as he was in the ship. Here's, I want you to notice something. I don't know if you ever thought about this. Look at this. And there were also with him other little ships. And there's lots of ways to interpret this. But what I want you to realize, you're a believer. And the same storms that are affecting you are affecting other people too. But there's a difference. There was little boats with him, but there was only one boat where he was on board. You say, I don't know about this serving God. There's storms. I'm going to tell you, there's going to be storms if you don't serve God. Here I took Jesus into my life and I still face storms. There's going to be storms in your life if you don't have Jesus. And so it boils down to this. Do you want to face the storm with Jesus in your boat or without him in your boat? I said there were other little ships that didn't have him in the boat. They faced the same storm. Amen. Believer, unbeliever, saved, unsaved. You're going to face the storms of life. And the question is, do you want to face them with Jesus on your boat? Or do you want to face the storms with, how many would lift a hand and say, I believe I'll face them with Jesus on the boat. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Verse 37. Here's the human need. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. You've heard perhaps many times that storms are particularly severe on the Lake of Galilee. The Lake of Galilee sits in a basin surrounded by mountains, large hills, and there are times when there's a front comes through. Those winds funnel in the ravines between the hills, and all of a sudden, from several directions, sometimes those currents of wind rushing through the ravines will hit the Sea of Galilee, and there will be an immediate, tumultuous, horrible storm that hits that lake. The thing we must understand, this storm was an unusual storm because it was unusual to veteran fishermen and expert boatsmen. I mean, these were people accustomed to the boat. They were accustomed to the Sea of Galilee, but this storm was far worse than any they had ever been through before in all of their combined years of experience. They'd never seen a storm like that. Some of you are that way this morning. There's been storms in your life. You've seen other people in storms, but there's never been a storm like the one you're facing right now. Even veteran servants of God, people that have served him for years, you've never seen a storm like this. That's a bad storm. Amen. Wind causes waves. These are the different versions. One said the waves beat. Another version, another gospel said the waves covered. Another gospel said the waves filled. In other words, that boat was being shaken. It was yawing. It was overwhelmed. It was being pushed around. And the thing that gets me, what's the thing about waves? There's no relenting. There's no ceasing. It's just one after the other, after the other, and beating against that ship. How many's ever felt like that? It wasn't just one thing. It was one after another, after another, after another. The waves were beating upon that ship. Hey, man, I want you to know one more thing about that storm. A storm literally is a natural phenomena over which we humans have no power at all. Amen. We got technology and science. We can predict a storm, but all the technology and science in the world cannot stop a storm. Oh, what a storm. I said, what a storm. I want to tell you, science can't stop it. Technology can't stop it. But there is a Lord in heaven who can stop it. If I can't stop a storm, it's something over which I have no control. It's something over which I can do nothing. I am powerless. You see my situation this morning. I have no control over it. I'm powerless. There's nothing I can do. There's nothing medicine can do. You're in a good place. That kind of storm where nobody else can do anything, he is going to arise and show that he, the Son of God, is a master even of the nature man cannot control. Oh, hallelujah. Let's pause and worship him this morning. I'm telling you, God wants to work in this place. I must proceed, but I want to bring out one other truth. I want you to hear me across the building. This storm arose in the area of these men's occupation. They were fishermen. Have you ever noticed they would not have had a boat to get in with Jesus had they not been fishermen? So this storm is peculiar to their occupation. And I just want to encourage us across the building, We've got different occupations, different vocations, different careers, different place we live. And every one of those occupations, every one of those things have their own particular storms. You say, well, thank God we don't have to worry about hurricanes like they do in Florida. Yeah, but we get snowstorms. Right? Oklahoma, well, at least we don't have to worry about getting flooded by a hurricane. Had tornadoes. I just thought, you know, sometimes we can minimize other people's storms. But I want you to know, wherever we live, whatever our name, whatever our, whether we're a young person or an older person, wherever we're at in life, storms arise that are particular to that station that we are in life. These waves begin to build, and the scripture is clear. The boat began to fill up. And it reached the point it was about to sink. I mean, these are experts. Can you imagine? I'm sure some of them were bailing with whatever they had to bail with. They were bailing out water. But they were watching those waves come over the edge of that boat. They maybe they made a mark. I don't know. But they're not dumb. They can see that the water is rising in the boat. How many's been there? You have watched the water rise in your situation. Have you been there? I mean, you can almost put the marks there. Now, what happens, Brother Dale, when the water's rising inside the boat? What's happening to the boat in the storm? It's going down, down, down. Amen. And as the water of your situation rises, you feel yourself sinking, getting lower, maybe physically, but for sure spiritually and emotionally, one wave after the other. The boat is filling up and you're sinking. Oh, how hallelujah. I was going down for the last time, but someone heard my cry. You say this is something new. No, sir. I take you back to the psalmist 69. He said, save me, oh God, for the waters are come up into my soul. And I'm going to end here in a little bit. But the storms on the outside of us are not nearly as bad as the storms on the inside. It's bad enough to feel the water rising up around you. It's another thing in your soul to feel the water. Oh, look at the psalmist. It's desperation. Jesus has not yet come. And he said, the waters are come up into my soul. My soul is sinking from the waters. Hallelujah. What an awful storm. What an awful need. Let's look at the usual probable response. Think if you're on that boat. You're being pushed around by wave and wind. What's your first response? Come on, man. What's your first response? I'll never go on a fishing trip on Lake Erie again. I already know how you respond. I don't have to guess. Some of you be puking your guts out, wouldn't you? You can feel real spiritual till the boat gets to. But you don't feel too spiritual when you're going. How many of you men felt real spiritual when you were doing that? And I'm kind of being humorous, but I'm telling you, you don't really know what you're going to do in the middle of a storm. And many times you don't feel too spiritual. I know what I've been doing. We're drowning. We're going to drown. That's what a melancholy said. There's no way we're going to get out of this one. So you be screaming. Like that helps. That's generally the way we are. We get in the middle of something. Our first thing is to scream. God, get me out of here. Right? What was the usual response? I know that these veteran fishermen, these expert boatsmen, they knew enough to be afraid. But I want you to get something. They knew enough to be afraid of storms, but their fear went beyond concern and awareness. Their fear went beyond adrenaline. Their fear had got to the place it was fatalistic. They were thinking to themselves, this is it. It's all over. There's no hope. But in the midst of it all, let me tell you what was the worst thing about their storm. Here it is. Verse 35. Jesus led them into the storm. Don't you know that had to consternate them? Jesus led them into that storm. Right there it is. Whose idea was it? Why are we out here? Why did we get out on in the night, out on this boat, on this lake? Whose idea? Matthew, was it yours? Peter, yours? Andrew, John? Jesus, it was his idea. Wasn't it? Jesus said, let's pass over to the other side. And I am sure, well, let's look what Matthew says about it. And when he was entered into the ship, his disciples followed him. Not only was it his idea, he's the first one that got on the ship, and his disciples followed him into that boat. Don't you know they had to be awfully consternated and confused to think that in following Jesus that God involved. I want to tell you how you can know you're a true follower of Jesus, and that is if you'll follow him even into the storms. Some folks, they'll follow Jesus till the storm hits and then they're running. You can know you're a true follower if you'll follow him even if it leads into the storm. Hallelujah. Anyone still with me? Let me see your hand. He's talking to us. Amen. They had to be consternated. But even in following him, listen, even in following him, they ought to recognize something. He said, let us pass over unto the other side. He said, our destination is the other side. Now, the storm's going to hit, and it's going to be bad. But instead of just looking at it like we're in this mess because Jesus told us to get in the boat and go to the other side, we ought to have a different attitude. You know what it ought to be, Sister Rose? If Jesus said, we're going to the other side, it don't matter how bad the storm gets, we're going to the other side. We're going to make it. Hallelujah. Anyone sense that? See how the attitude could have been? I know the storm's bad, the waves, the wind, but Jesus said, we're going to the other side. And if he said, we're going to make it. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Somebody needs to remember that right now. You're right in the heat of it. You're right in the midst of it. But you need to remember something. When you started out with Jesus, he said, I'm going to take you to the other. How many knows he's the author and the finisher of our faith? Hallelujah. If he said, we're going to make it, we're going to make it. Keep on following him. Yes, but it's leading into the storm. Keep on following him. Because he said, if we're going to the other side, we're going through the storm. We'll make it out the other end of that thing. Oh, hallelujah. Let's follow him. Consternated was their response. And so I want to say to us this morning, don't come to any conclusions until the storm is over with. Would you do that as a believer? No matter how bad it gets, serving Jesus, don't come to any conclusions. They came to the wrong conclusion in the storm. They said, Master, you don't even care. But don't come to any conclusions until the storm is over. Because your conclusions are going to be different. Oh, Brother Wilson, good to have you here. Do you know anything about storms? Oh, yeah. Been through storms. Oh, hallelujah, but we're coming through them. Here's some conclusions they came to. You'll discover with the disciples that Jesus will never lead you into any storm. He'll not ride out with you. Go ahead and shout. Hallelujah. Jesus will never lead you into any storm. He'll not ride out with you. Jesus will never lead you into any storm. He does not intend on taking you right through it. And Jesus, no matter how long it seems that he's asleep, no matter how long he's getting a longer nap than Jesus did. Amen. It doesn't matter how long it seems that he hasn't intervened. I want to tell you one thing. Hallelujah. There will be a time when he will arrive. And he will enter, and you'll find he's in the just-in-time God. He's never too late. He's never too early. He knows when. He knows how. He knows what to do. But get it. You're going through the storm. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As I was studying, a song came on, and I typed a few words. Never heard it before. It said, so let the storms come and the winds blow. I'll make it no matter how long. Oh, hallelujah. God's not promised us ease and comfort and prosperity and luxury. And those fellas that'll tell you that, they're lying. Trying to get your money. That's the bottom line. But he has promised he'll take us through. What was Jesus' response? Well, first of all, what was his response to their apparent imminent drowning? I mean, that's what they were doing. They were drowning. Verse 38. Here's his response to their drowning. Brother David, they're screaming. The water's rising. The boat's sinking. They're going under. Here's Jesus' response. Everyone see that? I said, here's Jesus' response. Come on, be honest. Have you ever felt like that? Help, Lord, help. I'm drowning, I'm drowning, I'm drowning. Lord, Lord. And that's how it seemed he was responding. I want to see your hand if you ever felt like that's how he's responding. Oh, we're getting real this morning, aren't we? And that's how Jesus at first had to qualify, responded to their drowning. I want to say something about Jesus. Can I say something about Jesus? Is that all right when I'm preaching to say something about Jesus? Jesus was the God-man, fully God, fully man, 100% God, 100% man. Not two persons, God and man, but just one, the God-man. And I want to tell you why he was sleeping as a man. I want to tell you. You know why he's sleeping as a man? Because he is exhausted. He is worn out. He'd been preaching work. He's worn out. Oh, that lets us know something. He's like us. He knows. He knows when we get exhausted. And so as a man, he's sleeping because he's exhausted. But as God, he's sleeping because he knows something. That boat isn't going under. Oh, as God, he knows there's no danger. Glory to God. I said, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Aren't you glad for the God-man, Jesus Christ, Son of God? Oh, if you love your master, let me see your hand. Do you love him? Do you love him? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said, he knows that boat isn't going under. They're imagining. Why doesn't Jesus care? They can't imagine why Jesus is acting like he doesn't care. They misinterpret his response. They think Jesus is complacent. Jesus doesn't care. Jesus is uninterested. Jesus is unmoved. Those disciples are thinking, how can he sleep when we're in this mess? How can he sleep when we're in this danger? How can God, you've been there, how can God do nothing when things are so bad in my life? He doesn't care. If Jesus cared, I wouldn't be going through what I'm going through. If Jesus cared, he'd be doing something to get me out of this mess. I want to ask you, when you get to that place, what are your options? Amen. You're upset at Jesus. He's doing nothing. What are you going to do? Take him and throw him overboard like they did Jonah? You said we'd never do that. I want to tell you something. There's been a lot of folks that do that because they didn't understand why Jesus didn't do something right now, make them rich and wealthy and solve every problem. They jettison him over the side of the boat. Others have done something just as bad. Even they get upset with serving God and Jesus. He's doing nothing. They leave the boat. I want to tell you, either option is going to be destructive. You may not understand. Oh, but at least he's in the boat. He may not be doing anything, but at least he's right there with you. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Stay in the boat. Keep Jesus in the center of your life. Oh, can somebody say amen this morning? Hallelujah. Amen. What was Jesus' response to the storm? Hallelujah. Here it is. Jesus doing nothing. Jesus is doing nothing. Jesus doing nothing. Verse 39. And he arose. He arose. Oh, hallelujah. He arose. Go ahead. Hallelujah. And he did what? He rebuked the wind. And he said unto the sea, say it, peace be still. And the wind ceased. And there was a great, what was his response to the storm? It wasn't right at first. It may not have been even in the middle of it. But there was a time when Jesus arose to confront the storm. I want to tell you, it may not seem that he's moved yet, but I promise you, if he's in your boat, there will be a time that Jesus will arise to confront your storm. Oh, hallelujah. I said, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And what did he do? He rebuked the wind and the wave. I said, he did what? He rebuked. I want you to hear me all across the building. Some problems need healed. Some problems need forgiveness. Some problems need repentance. But some problems need rebuked. Sometime you're going to have to let the Jesus in you stand up and say, this isn't a time for forgiveness or repentance or healing. This is a time I point my finger and say, in the name of Jesus, I've had you as a problem too long. I have fought you too long. I felt that way too long. I battled you too long. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. I command you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody needs to let Jesus in them. Rise up and rebuke your storm. Oh. I said, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. I know where I'm going, but I think we just need to stay here for one more minute. Let's do that one more time. The wind is blowing and the waves are rising. But what happens when the waves rise up? When the waves rise up, what happens? Jesus rises up. I want you to leave here believing that. When the waves rise up, Jesus rises. When the problem rises up, Jesus rises up. When the enemy comes in like a flood, he'll lift up a standard against him. Hallelujah. Let's worship him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, brother. What was his response to the disciples' fear and lack of faith? Verse 40. He said unto his disciples, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Luke, he said, where is your faith? And I want you to notice this first time when he said, why are you so fearful? He uses the word delos, which means timidity, lack of courage, discouraged, disheartened, even shame that they've trusted him. That's the wrong kind of fear to have in serving God. But some folks have that fear. You've allowed the storm to take the courage right out of you. You've allowed the storm to make you timid in declaring the promises of God. You've allowed the storm to take your heart and passion out of worship. That's the wrong kind of fear. Why are ye so fearful? Hallelujah. In other words, Jesus said to him, I don't understand why you've lost courage. Don't you get it? Don't you get it? I won't let you down. Haven't you understood that? I won't let you down. I'm in the boat. And if I'm in the boat, it's not going down. If I'm in the boat, it's going to the other side. It makes all the difference. You need not fear. I am with you. And lo, I will be with you always, even until the end. Oh, let's worship him. Hallelujah. I want you to hear me one more time. Jesus being on board, you can just sit there. Thank you. Jesus being on board, Brother Dale, didn't keep the boat from ending up in a storm, but it kept the boat from sinking. They'll lie to you and tell you Jesus being on board will keep you out of storms. That's a lie. I can't promise you that this morning. Having Jesus on board does not keep the boat out of the storm, but it'll keep that boat from sinking. You're going to face some storms, but you're not sinking. You're not going under. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I mean, let God minister to you, would you, across the building? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Verse 41, Jesus said, why are you fearful? And then they turn around and it says in verse 41, they feared exceedingly. You can't tell it in English, but the words change from delos, which means timid, cowardly, without heart, without courage. It changed to phobos, which means awe stricken. Wow. Their fear was like this. Now their fear is, wow, who is this one? It's reverence. It's awe. It's being overwhelmed at His greatness. They feared exceedingly and said one to another, "What manner of man is this that even the wind," and the, never been a man like Jesus. Hallelujah. I said, never been a man like Jesus. None like Him, none compared to Him, none besides Him. Oh, hallelujah. I tell you why you're going through the storm. There's nobody like Jesus. You say there's never been a storm like this. There's never been a man like this. There's never been a deliverer like this. You say there's never been a problem like this. There's never been a power like this. Glory to God. There's never been a bondage like this. There's never been a deliverance like this. There's never been sin like this. There's never been forgiveness like this. Oh, hallelujah. Never been a man like this. What manner of man is this that even the wind and the seas obey Him? Would you come, music? Here's the results of Jesus' response. And He arose, rebuked the wind, "Peace be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. I want you to notice two things. First of all, the Bible makes clear it was a great storm. But when Jesus is finished, it's a great calm. He has a calm in proportion to your storm. He's got a solution in proportion to your question. He's got grace that is greater than all your sins, all your needs. And then I want you to notice there's two miracles that happen. First of all, at His word, the wind quit blowing. But if you've been around water, long after the wind stops blowing, what happens? The waves, it takes a long time for the waves to lie down. Two miracles. Immediately the wind ceased, but immediately there was a reflective calm upon that sea. Some of you have been through a major storm. Maybe it was last week, maybe it was yesterday, maybe it was 6 years ago. And the storm's over with, but the waves are still billowing in your soul. I'm telling you, the same master that can cause the wind to cease, He can cause the waves to lie down. He can give calm to your soul. Even at death's door, you can sing peace, peace, wonderful peace. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. God, do eternal things in this place. I want to make just the final point as I close. They would have never, the disciples would have never experienced the great power of Jesus over nature. They'd never experienced His great power had they never been in that storm. You'd never know God was faithful if you didn't let Him take you through some things. You'd never see the power and glory of God. You'd never have a testimony. I was in the worst storm of my life. My ship looked like it was going under. But when the waves arose, Jesus arose and He spake to my storm and He brought me through. I want to tell you, as much as we may not like it, there's only one way to know the power of God, and that's to be in the storm. Hallelujah. I know very little about football. But here are the offense, the defense, two lines, they're battling it out. The back has got the ball, and the front line is battling each other. And many times, the worst thing to do is for that back just to run right in the middle of it. They'll get him. But I hear it said, you know, commentators will say, that back showed real patience of waiting while they battled it out until a hole opened up. I want to tell you, when the battle is waging, when the storm is raging, we need to have the patience of faith. Not to take matters in our own hand, not to mess up things, not to quit, not to run, not to give in, out. We need to have the patience to wait until He makes a hole of escape. Wait on the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord, don't jettison Jesus. Wait on Him. You say He's doing nothing. Wait on Him. Do you hear me across the building? Seems He's doing nothing. Wait on Him. Patience. Trust. stand on the promises. Because there will be a day he arises to confront your storm. Would you stand all over the building? I want to say one more time as I open these altars. I preached in an analogy that makes it look like storms are external. But hear me across the building. The greatest storms that you face are not the external. They're the internal ones. So I'm going to give an altar call this morning for two types of storms. First of all, you're going to come this morning because you are in fact in a storm. It's raging around you. And you need Jesus to arise. But I'm going to give the second altar call. The storm's not raging around you. The storm is raging within you. In either case, he's the peace speaker. Let's worship him. Come on, let's love him. If you found him to be the peace speaker, aren't you tired of the storm inside? Aren't you tired of that storm raging? Hallelujah. You say these young people, they're not old enough to know much about storms. Well, that's debatable. But they're also at an age when they know all too well those inward storms that rage. He's the peace speaker. If you need him to arise in your life, and you're not going to give up your faith until he does arise. But if you need Jesus to arise, if you're willing to let him arise within you and rebuke your storm, I want you to come begin to fill this altar and say, I'm going to stick with the boat until Jesus arises. I need him to arise. Would you come fill these altars? I need Jesus to arise. Hallelujah. 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 You hear me as you come. Some things are for rebuking. Some things are for repenting. Some things are for, but some things we got to rebuke. Got to rebuke. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you pray? Amen. I want you to come and just worship Jesus. Put the questions behind you. Put the questions behind you. Amen. Be honest with him. Lord, I have feared. Lord, I have lost heart. Oh, hallelujah. Let him rise up within you this morning. Speak peace. Let him rise up within you and speak peace this morning.
He can draw.